বিহারী গোপী জনবাল বাকির বারধারী
Shigurango. Is the computer available? For chapter 7, text 8, Bhagavad Gita? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading Bhagavad Gita, one verse. I'm sure most people know the very first line. So you can repeat after me. Rasoham apsukonteya.
Rasoham apsukonteya.
Tabamsi shashishuryayo.
Tabamsi
Pranavak sarva vedeshu. Shabdake purusham nishu. Somebody like to chant? Translation. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om and the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Purport. This verse explains how the Lord is all-pervasive by his diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by his different energies, and in this way he is realized impersonally. As a demigod in the sun is a person and is perceived by his all-pervading energy, the sun shines, so the Lord, although in his eternal abode, is perceived by his all-pervading diffusive energies. The taste of water is the active principle of water. No one likes to drink seawater because the pure taste of water is mixed with salt. Attraction for water depends on the purity of the taste, and this pure taste is one of the energies of the Lord. The impersonalist perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste, but personalist also glorifies the Lord for his kindly supplying tasty water to quench man's thirst. I'm going to stop there. Some tasty water right here. More tasty because it's offered to Krishna. Actually, water is a concern these days. When I was a child, there was no such thing as bottles of water. Of course, that might tell you a little about my age. But anyway, now you go into the supermarket, and there's real concern to get pure water, to actually have that taste. Because as it starts describing here, it's so pure because it's Krishna. It's a taste of Krishna. And so you go in the supermarket, and you'll find mineral water, spring water, filtered water, distilled water, every kind of water you can think of. And more. And then if you don't buy that water, then you get a filter, right? The filters come from anywhere from $20 to $200 to, I don't know, the sky's the limit these days. Because everyone is searching for that purity, that wonderful taste of water. And it's essential. So there's an appreciation for water. But also the purity in gold is also appreciated. People will pay good money for 22 karat gold that you can find in India, right? And then I inherited some things from my mother, and there was a bunch of sterling silver. And so I went to the pawn shop and thought, oh, I'm going to become rich, you know. And I take it there, sterling. And they said, oh, this is very nice. And they looked it up in the books and everything, and then they started scratching it and doing all kinds of tests. And they said, we can't give you a thing for this. I thought, they offered me $1,000 at first, and then I said, oh, that's okay. And then I got nothing. So purity is very valuable. In air, think of air. What we'll do for nice, fresh country air, right? I don't know if anyone's been to Calcutta in the evening, and you have your lights on. You cannot see the person in front of you. You can't see their backup lights. It's that bad. You know, and you just don't even want to breathe. I lived in Santa Barbara, California for a while, way back home, 40 years ago or something like that. And it's kind of up high in the mountains, Ojai Mountains. And we would want to drive down to the Los Angeles Temple. And you get up there on the mountain and you look down. And all you saw was yellow and gray layer. Who knows how thick. Couldn't even see the city. Just this smog layer. And every time I'd go to Los Angeles, I'd get a headache the whole time I was there. We're after the purity of air because it's very essential. But what less the consciousness, the pure consciousness of a living entity, how we crave that. Someone mentioned in a morning class the other day that I think last month was the highest amount of shootings. It's a world record of shootings and deaths. Where is the consciousness gone? I mean, it's degraded. Where can you find that pure consciousness? These people are disturbed. Their consciousness is so contaminated. They're so bewildered. So in human form of life, we should try to look for that pure consciousness. Purity is, other names and definitions are pristine, clear, fresh, original, unadulterated, right? Everyone wants this in a person, in a living entity, to have that pure consciousness. Many saints and sages we still worship for so many thousands of years because of that purity. And there's a lack of it because we have to admit we all came to this material world and we get dipped in to impure atmosphere and we gather these impurities among us. And so especially in human form of life, we should recognize this and search for that purity. We can unveil this true identity, realizing that we are that pure soul. By the grace of the Lord, for one, he's given us instructions how to do that. And he also gives us the pure devotee. Now, we use that word so much in Christian consciousness, pure devotional service, pure devotee. But Krishna is so kind, not only does he leave the instructions, but he allows his representative to become so purified that by his touch and guidance, we can also become pure. And so we have to realize that this is actually the representative of the super soul, God in our heart, who's trying to keep us pure, that he manifests himself in the pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada. Just see the touch of his pen, of writing these books, the touch of making this organization, what it's done, is actually begin to purify the entire world. There's definitely this proof you can see within all these people in this room how purified they've come. So we have to take help of this pure devotee. A pure devotee is one who has the quality of actually detaching himself from material association, no longer attracted to all these sensual and things that are very selfish for their own selves. And instead, you know, we have chosen to, if one does not choose to purify themselves, then you're in a situation where you have all these very bad qualities of lust, anger, and greed. Excuse me, I'm on the verge of coughing. These material bodies are no fun, especially this season. So we have to realize that this representative is trying to help us and guide us through. We're already so intoxicated in this material world that we don't need any more intoxication. We need the purification that's given by the pure devotee. So for that, we can see that it's an embarrassing situation that we're in. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the senses are in the mind are so strong, you know, this urge for sensual activity is so strong that it can carry away a man who's really endeavoring to make spiritual advancement. But it forcibly, it makes it so difficult. And we've all experienced it. We're all endeavoring for spiritual life to understand who we really are, to become self-realized. But it's very difficult. So it's an embarrassing situation. And we should see that eternally we are not this person who is angry and attached to material things, but we're brilliant as a sun. We're actually part of Krishna. We have such wonderful qualities, each one of these persons in the room. Every living entity is full of compassion and love, but just see how far we've gone in the opposite direction. So the best thing is to invest in good filters. Every machine that you get has filters, right? Your heating machine, your air conditioning machine. If you don't change the filter, it gets all clogged up, right? And then there's no more pure air. You get horrible air. Or you're in your car. There's so many different filters in the tractor. And so, all, because we need it, we keep to keep that purity, to keep running smoothly and very consciously. moving forward. So invest in some good filters. And those filters are instructions that we receive from the spiritual master of how to choose who you associate with and what you hang out with. Just like if you ride by our compost pile out here, let's say, you're going to get a whiff of something, right? Or if you open up our biogas digester, whew, and the wind's going that way, you'll be, traumatized. There's some impurity in there, And or like if you taste something, you go, whoa, what's this taste? It must be rotten. You'll give it away. It's like a filter. You'll automatically reject it, right? I don't want that. Or if you smell, or if you see something horrible, you don't want to see it anymore. You just reject it. So this filtering of accepting and rejecting what's going to be favorable for our consciousness, what's going to contaminate it and cover us over so we can't see who we really are, or what's going to unveil it so we can experience the brilliance and knowledge that's within our spirit soul. We have so many different coverings. We need a lot of very heavy-duty filters. And bhakti is a way to reject the material contamination, that atmosphere, very sublimely. You come here to the temple and you feel a whole different atmosphere. Because bhakti is actually non-different than Krishna. It's service to Krishna. And so Srila Prabhupada was very kind to make this organization where we can put Krishna in the center of everything. That's the secret. And then everything becomes spiritual, and we come in contact with Krishna in so many different ways. And bhakti is so nice because it's so much nicer than what's out there that we can easily give it up. It's not like someone's, jerking our hand behind us to come here. We all want to come here. I remember one festival, I asked a guest, what'd you like the best about the festival? And they said, I was just amazed that everyone wanted to be here. It's not like, they were all wanted here because they liked it. They wanted to be here. And it's true, because bhakti is sublime. It's what we're looking for. It's the purity that we're looking for. And it's even increased when there's more people engaging in that. Because what the bhakti is, it's the essence of the soul. And the essence of the soul is service. And spiritual service, devotion to Krishna, what it does is it wakes up our spiritual senses so that we can experience Krishna in our taste, the purity of the prasadam, the purity of the holy name. And we can see Krishna, the purity in the devotees' faces. We can hear. Wakes up all of our spiritual senses so we can actually experience Krishna. And that way we can stay very satisfied. And we don't really need to contact the material world. And even if we do contact the material world, we learn the art of transforming it from matter to spirit. We can go out there and actually show people, oh, look at this food is no karmic reaction. It's no longer material. Please take these books. We'll tell you everything you need to know about spiritual life. So that is the secret of purity. So to expedite this realization is the chanting of the holy names of God, and especially the pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting. There's the stage where one is committing some offenses, and so the potency is not fully there. And then there's a clearing stage where we actually are working on that purification and concentration of the holy name. And then there's the pure chanting of the holy name. But this holy name is non-different than Krishna. Krishna is the supreme pure. When he came here to the material world, which he does every once in a while when it gets really bad, he has to come here and try to straighten things out. He wasn't contaminated. His activities and everything, he wasn't affected by anything. He was completely pure. And so his holy name now has appeared in this age, totally pure. And you can see the effects. I was just speaking to someone that was in Mayapur, and they were discussing how there's an international gathering of devotees, and thousands of people were there, and so many of them are from countries that none of us have ever visited or met the people or anything. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people from every country there. all becoming purified just by this holy name. They're actually making a stadium there. The temple room is a kirtan stadium that will hold 10,000 people. And you can imagine how elevating that would be to be in a kirtan with 10,000 people. And then they had that wonderful celebration. I'm sure you all saw it on Facebook, of raising the chakra up on the temple. Pretty amazing. And Prabhupada wanted this temple to happen to show the purity of this Vedic literature, of actually creating a spiritual city, showing the purity of just loving and serving God all together, all under one house, all different living entities under one house. And we all come together with this chanting. The chanting is so powerful that it can purify anything. So where devotees go, wherever they go, if they take the chanting, then they actually bring a pure atmosphere. And so we should be very careful that we respect the holy name. There's a very nice song. I'll read you a couple of the verses about the potency of this holy name. Sometimes we just take it for granted. Oh, yeah, we chant Hare Krishna, but this is very nice. More sweet than all sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things. The greatest purifier of all purifying things, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Sri Krishna alone is everything. So if we can come to that realization, that appreciation of the holy name, and take it more seriously, because this is the boost, the boost that we need. We have such a handicap here in the material world, being in this age and in these bodies, that we need all the help we can get. So if you add the chanting to everything you do in service, it'll be that much more potent. You'll be that much closer to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya was very kind. He appeared 500 years ago, right here on the left altar. To every once in a while, Krishna has to upgrade the potency of the holy name to give that handicap, that special boost for us. And so Lord Chaitanya gave us a lot of instructions on the chanting. Not only gave us the chanting, which is so easy and nice, but he gave us very nice instructions. And one of the instructions is to actually to have the right mood in chanting. And that right mood is to be humble, to actually be honest and admit that we do have that contamination. Maybe we just have one little layer. Maybe we have many, many layers of contamination due to being here in the material world for so long. But if one humbles himself, then they can actually benefit more. The holy name, someone tell me what the mantra means. Sukhada, what does the mantra mean?
Lord, please engage me
in your service. Oh Lord, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. So it's a prayer. And so if one really sincerely prays that way in the proper mood, then Krishna will surely listen and surely bring you back to him. And also in that humble mood, then one will be able to respect everyone else and see Krishna in everyone's heart and be able to also invite them to take part in this. So it's very important to have that proper mood. And then automatically, if you respect everyone, you won't offend anybody. And without that with offense, then you become very receptive. So another very important instruction is to be very attentive, and to be very, in that way, be very receptive, and to actually learn how to take that holy name and go past the mind and drop it down into your heart and let it really work, let it really cleanse. And then to have faith in the holy name, to actually realize it and have faith that this will do that purifying effect for me. And therefore, we can see in many scriptures, I remember many of the songs that we used to sing in Christian churches were about the holy name on high and awake, chanting the holy name. So everyone understands that potency of the holy name, especially in chanting it in such a pure way. So the chanting gives us that proper atmosphere, and it puts us on a platform where we can be with Krishna all day long. And so we take to the chanting and try to be as and try to pronounce it as properly as we can. That's a big part. If you're not chanting it properly, then you might miss out on actually being with Krishna. You might be with, I don't know what else you're chanting, but if you clearly say the holy names, then it's much more potent. And the least amount of distractions, finding a place where your mind is not going to be distracted is very, very important also. Just like Mukhi was very apologetic, she came to me just before I was starting to chant my japa and said, Nagaraj can't give class. Can you give class today? I hate to bother your japa period, because she knew that I'd be thinking about the class. So, yeah, it's best if, you know, there are no distractions. So this is will give you more potency. It's something that we all can work on every day. We have 2 hours of chanting at least, and many, many hours of kirtan, where we can try to become more attentive. And this purification is not the easiest job in the world. There's, it said, you know, no pain, no gain. Myself and some friends were out in this berry bush near the blueberries and the bees. There's all these horrible blueberry bushes that are about this high, and they stick to you, and they're just horrible. And so I uprooted them with the tractor, and then we had to pick them all out. And we were getting pricked. I mean, we were in agony, practically crying. It was so painful. And if the prickers didn't get you, the ants did. And so it was like the most austere thing. We had to do it for 3 days to get rid of them. But then it's clear. You know, then the roots are out. Same with our consciousness. If we can get the roots of these material desires out of us with a little bit of prick here, a little bit of, you know, surrender here, it's worth it. For that pure taste, of our relationship, loving relationship with Krishna again. So it might be difficult to deal with that mind that's racing all over the place and to spend that time that we could be doing something else or asking, you know, can you wait? I'm just chanting my rounds. But it is very important. Then when it's clear, then you have fertile ground. Right? All those roots are out. Now we have fertile ground to plant all these different things that we want to this spring. The berry bushes won't be there, won't come up again because we got them by the roots. So we want fertile ground to grow seeds of love for Krishna. So we have to get all these other desires for sensual things and so-called love, which is really lust and everything, out of our system and get back to that pure ground. So this process of bhakti might be a little painful, a little inconvenient, a little discomfort sometimes, but ultimately we get great gain, and we should remember that and take to it with great seriousness. It's also described that purity is the force. If we can, the more pure we get, the more we're pushed, we're forced towards Krishna, the most attractive one. And not only are we forced toward Krishna, but Krishna sees, and when he sees the purity, he's actually forced towards us because he's so attracted to that purity. So it is a lifetime engagement of engaging in this purifying process. But it's a very satisfying life, this lifetime and next lifetime when we're Krishna, with Krishna personally. There's a nice story. Srila Prabhupada was, I think it was near the Boston steel shipyards, and there was a big sign across the path, and it said, unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada was walking with the devotees, and he pointed, he said, they have unalloyed steel, but we have unalloyed love for Krishna. And so you have to pay the price for something unalloyed, that purity. And Prabhupada is asking us simply to you know, to engage in devotional service. There's a nice quote that Prabhupada says, if one's heart, this is actually a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, and his bodily hairs do not stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. But the chanting does purify and soften your heart. So we might have some hardness in there, but if we keep chanting, it will soften, and then we can experience what it's like. As a result of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one makes such advancement in spiritual life that simultaneously his material existence terminates, and he receives love of Godhead. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful that by chanting even one name, one very easily achieves these transcendental riches. If one chants the exalted holy name of the Lord again and again, and yet his love for the Supreme Lord does not develop and tears do not appear in his eyes, it is evident that because of his offenses in chanting, the seed of the holy name of Krishna does not sprout. So we have to take very careful in our chanting to keep purity in mind, that keep those filters very clean, so that as we're chanting, all those bad thoughts and everything, they're erased. And in your daily life, consider, in human form of life, we have that discrimination ability that animals don't, but consider, discriminate. Is this going to be good for me to go in this place, to talk to this person, to open up that Facebook, and to just see what happens to be there underneath that cute little caption, huh? Or is it going to ruin my consciousness? Is it going to drop contamination in me that I might not get out for weeks or months or years or maybe never get it out? It might contaminate me so bad that it can destroy my Krishna consciousness for some time. Or it might have some association that they are offensive devotees. I should go away, because that can contaminate me too and affect my chanting. So we should be very discriminative. That is our right. That is our duty, being human beings. It's a long road of purification ahead of us. We became a traveler on this road a long time ago, and we've picked up a lot of dirt. So we have to realize that we have very short legs. We have a very short lifetime to get rid of those contaminations. But we have the mercy of these temples and the strength in numbers, the strength of devotees, to take advantage of them. And please accept, don't reject, but accept all the association that you get here in the temple. Accept the association of service. Come to this cleansing of the Gundicha. It's fun. It really is. It gives you a taste of what it's like to serve with hundreds of devotees and actually cleaning your heart. You know, Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see all the devotees cleaning, and he was cleaning better than everyone else, and he made the biggest piles. But he encouraged people. Yes, you clean more. You clean more. You clean more. So you come, and it's actually, like she says, it helps you. It helps the temple. It helps our strength in numbers too. Serving together, that's when you actually get nice spiritual bonds between people. Your closest bonds are those people that you're always with. And why not hundreds of people all together in one day? You get to know each other better. There's strength in numbers. And of all the numbers, Prabhupada said this number more than any other number, and that was to chant 16 rounds. So those who are chanting should understand that the practice is of this purity, the practice of control of our senses, all comes by chanting this holy name, 16 rounds, which only takes a couple of hours a day. And then, of course, there's countless hours of kirtan and countless hours of reading and studying together, which all are in this wonderful purifying process. So don't miss out. And the purity of the holy name and service will act. And you will feel a relief. You'll actually feel a relief of all these material distresses that obviously these people that are not in contact with Krishna are experiencing. So maybe someone has some realizations or some questions on some of this discussion about purity. Prabhupada said purity is the force. There's one other quote I'd like to say, and this is about when one becomes very pure, then that purity is will give you the greatest service. In this material world, the living entity's only business is to accept the path of bhakti yoga and chant the holy name of the Lord. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. So this is the greatest benefit we can be to human society, and that is to help these other people that are suffering from their impure consciousness. They're suffering. I'm sure they're not enjoying in this contamination. So for us, our duty is to become pure, engage in devotional service, and go out there and touch others' people's hearts. Anyone like to say anything? So we can use our tongue in that way. Is that a hand or? I can't tell if that's a hand over there. Where?
Thank you for your class, Mother. When you say surrender, what does that mean for you?
For me?
Anyone? Yeah, for you.
It means to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Like I said, without Krishna and the spiritual master, you know, following instructions, we'll be pretty lost. First of all, we won't even know what pure means, and what the path of purity is. I mean, these people that are killing people, they think that's a great thing to do, you know, to get rid of so-and-so or whatever. So, yes, following spiritual master's instruction, he's the guide. We're lost. We're contaminated. We're very covered over. So we have to approach someone who is already pure. And by the grace of Prabhupada, he came here to express this simple process, to engage us in this very simple process. So if we do everything Prabhupada says, he guarantees us that he'll, you know, overcome what we might lack or what we might not be completely pure in, and at the end Krishna will say, oh, that's okay, and he'll take us back. So we need the spiritual master. So I think that's the most important thing, to surrender. Otherwise, Maya has a real nice program of surrender. She you can follow her program, but she'll end up kicking you real hard. Okay, so we can use our tongue to also taste the purity of Krishna's Bhagavat Prasadam. Thank you, Hare Krishna.